We are thrilled to have our next guest on to talk some draft with us. Mel Kiper Jr. from ESPN, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sportsline. Mel, thanks so much for making time for us today. We appreciate it.
Great to be with you.
You know, lots of 16 is an interesting spot to be at in the first round if you're the Arizona Cardinals, a team still with needs after a busy free agent period. But corner seems still make a lot of sense to lock down somebody who can hold that position for the next decade, ideally. And there's a couple of corners, actually a few corners that are, you know, at the top of the heap when you're talking about Surtain and Horn and Caleb Farley. And I know in your last mock you had Horn going to the Cardinals at 16, but can you describe the gap between those three players as you see it?
Well, it's a great question because they're all different. And I think everybody's going to have a varying viewpoint on how they rank. I think Surtain probably could say he's the most complete. Doesn't mean he's the best because, you know, he's beaten and covered some. He missed a tackle here and there. But, yeah, he's a better tackler than Caleb Farley. He's not quite as good in coverage as J.C. Horn. You could argue J.C. Horn could be the most complete and the best of that group had Farley not had the second back surgery. And I think that's where Caleb Farley comes into play. He's a great cover guy. He's a former wide receiver, former high school quarterback. Had an ACL in 2017, then the back surgery in 2019, then he had another back surgery prior to the draft. So skill-wise, Justin Fuente, I talked to back in August, the head coach at Virginia Tech, and he loves the kid's talent and potential. Long, athletic, great ball skills. Had to get a little tougher. Had he played this year, you would have needed to see better tackling. But I think cover-wise, he has few peers. And like I say, Surtain, if you want a guy fundamentally, technically sound, tremendously well-coached with Nick, who works with the defensive backs and coaches them hard, and then the great pro day. And then you have, like I say, Horn, son of Joe Horn, you know, press corner, really good cover guy. You can match him up against the number one receiver, and he'll do a good job. Everybody talks about what he did with Kyle Pitts. So all three corners are worthy of going in the top 20. Just depends on which one of those three you deem the best. And like I say, it's mixed opinion around the league on how these guys rank 1, 2, and 3.
Mel, I want to ask you about the quarterbacks as always. They become quite a topic right around the draft, but the Jets are receiving some criticism because people are saying, why didn't you just trade that pick and stick with Sam Darnold? Then you got the 49ers that gave up a lot of capital with some uncertainty of who might be there at 3. Sketch for us what you think and what you believe has happened with that position in this year's draft.
Feeding frenzy for the young quarterback because there's so many great young quarterbacks in the NFL. You have one down there in Arizona by the name of Kyler Murray, as you guys know well. You have what kind of talent he's going to become and what he's already shown. So, again, I think that's what you want to do. You try to keep up with all these teams. They have the Josh Allens and beyond Patrick Mahomes, the Lamar Jacksons, the Baker Mayfields, the Joe Burrows, the Justin Herberts. The list goes on and on with Kyler Murray and still some relatively young superstars like Russell Wilson, a future Hall of Famer. He's not 40 yet, guys. So there's a lot of football still to be played for Aaron Rodgers. And so, again, I think that's where we are. And I think San Francisco, the 49ers, and Kyle Shanahan saw that maybe Jimmy Garoppolo may not be a plateau quarterback. He got him to the Super Bowl. He was 8 minutes away from winning that Super Bowl over Patrick Mahomes. But I think the issue with Garoppolo is durability, dating back to his days in New England. Guys, I mean, he missed two of those four games filling in for Tom Brady when Tom was suspended. Jacoby Brissett had to play in those other two games. Then he had injuries two of the 3 years in San Francisco. So that's the problem with Jimmy Garoppolo. And I think Mac Jones fits Mike Shanahan drafted Kirk Cousins in Washington. You know, Kirk had Matt Ryan, Matt Schaub. They want cerebral quarterbacks, and that's where an accurate quarterbacks. They don't have to have the dual threat necessarily. You know, John Elway was a great dual threat. He was a pocket guy, could run and throw the 80-yard pass and the howitzer for an arm, and my all-time highest graded player was John Elway, but there are very few of those out there. I think Justin Fields is the best dual threat quarterback in this draft, but I think for them, I think Mac Jones made sense. For the Jets, I'm with you. I would have kept Sam Darnold. I would have traded down and gotten one of those receiving entities. They felt like the excuse they're using is we need to reset the clock and then get the rookie contract and then that Darnold with the option and all that. So, again, he's 23. They didn't draft him, and it all usually boils down to that, guys, as you know. Did the GM draft that quarterback? And then they use the excuse. So he could always say, Joe, well, you know, I only got let Darnold go because I had to reset the clock. I really thought he was going to be a bright young quarterback. And well, if you believe that, you keep him. You don't worry about resetting the clock. So I think what Joe Douglas said to me didn't make a lot of sense. that's, I understand the resetting the clock, but if you believe strongly, as he said, in the quarterback, you think he's got a bright future, then you keep the guy, and then you don't trade him. So again, they did get a 2, a 4, and a 6. So I give them credit for that, but I just think there was a little bit of, well, if he's really good, I'm going to protect myself and say, well, it was because of resetting the clock. So I don't really like the excuse for not keeping Sam Darnold. I think he tried to protect himself against Darnold being really good, and he brought Zach Wilson in, and now you got to hope for the best with Zach if you're a New York Jets fan.
Mel Kiper Jr. of ESPN, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Running back is also a need for the Arizona Cardinals, running backs, obviously, they get pushed down the draft board a little bit in today's NFL. I read what you wrote about Najee Harris. I love the kid, too. Would Najee Harris at 16 be a stretch for the Arizona Cardinals?
You know, for a running back, I would say, unless you're Zeke Elliott or Christian McCaffrey or, some of the great backs that have gone high in the draft, the grade doesn't match up with that, guys. And I always said, if the grade matches up, and you got a head coach banging the table and a coordinator, I got to have this guy, then I might sign off on it. But I look at the big board, and I think that the board, Carl Peterson always said, you go through this exercise of putting ratings on players and coming up with big boards for a reason, and ultimately to try to stay true to your board. And yeah, I think for Najee Harris, while he's a heck of an all-around back, he's 25 on my big board. And if you're picking 16, you got to get somebody inside of your top 10. You're going to draft somebody normally inside of your top 10 on your board. So Najee, while I like him, I think it would be awfully rich to take him at that 16th spot, or even, as I say, anywhere inside of 25.
Who are some of the sleepers that you really, really like that others might not be on to, Mel?
In any position at all. Great question. I think in terms of just a guy that's not a sleeper per se, but he's Jamie Newman, quarterback out of Wake Forest / Georgia. Didn't play this year. And he becomes a sleeper because people forget how good he was in 2019 at Wake Forest. Didn't do well at the Senior Bowl practice because he was rusty. But Jamie Newman, from as far as quarterbacks, a guy I would not sleep on. I think when you look at a guy, Zach Davidson, you look at the Cardinals, can use a tight end. Well, Zach Davidson's a kid at Central Missouri, also punted there, really came on in 2019, didn't play this year, but he's got the length. He's going to fill out and get stronger. He can stretch the deep middle. He's got run after the catch ability. I really like him. And I think an offensive tackle, just from the major schools, I think there's a couple guys underrated. Alaric Jackson from Iowa, I think, is underrated. And I also think Brendan Hymus from Nebraska is a little underrated. I think we all know about Quinn Miners, the guard center from Wisconsin Whitewater. I think from a pass rush standpoint, I think Patrick Johnson from Tulane, he had all those sacks, but people are sleeping on him a little bit. I think in the secondary, a couple guys, Robert Rowe, Shell from Central Arkansas, a really good corner, tested well. He could be a third-round pick, I believe, and do a really good job for you. And at the safety spot, Christian Upoff, a safety from Illinois State, would be a guy. He's not Kyle Duggar. He's not one of those guys like that's going to go second round. He's not Jeremy Chin, who went in the second round out of Southern Illinois and had a good rookie year with the Carolina Panthers, but he could be a good day three pick for somebody.
When once upon a time in this whole process, there was some concern, okay, they had all these players opting out of college football last year, and they all had legitimate reasons to do it. Now they're in the draft class, and people were wondering how much would that affect their stock. When this is all said and done, Mel, do you think that will be much of a factor at all, rounds 1 through 7?
I think that's a great question. I think it's going to be obviously different players will be affected in a negative way or a not in a positive way, more in a negative way. But I mean, Jamar Chase is still going to go high. He opted out from LSU. It's not going to hurt his draft position. It's not going to hurt, a Penei Sewell too much, although I do believe had Penei Sewell played this year at left tackle at Oregon, he'd have been a top 5 pick guaranteed and probably gone to the Cincinnati Bengals. Now he could be there at 8 for Carolina. Micah Parsons may have gone a little higher had he played at Penn State rather than that maybe 9 to 15 spot. I think the player that I think was impacted more negatively, I think that didn't play, was Gregory Rousseau, the defensive end from Miami. He had 15.5 sacks in 2019. He had great length. He played inside a defensive tackle, was very active and disruptive. He opted out. He had a very average pro day. Jalen Phillips had a great pro day at Miami. Rousseau had a very mediocre pro day. He needs technique work. He needed another year. Some of those sacks, a lot of those sacks were coverage sacks. So I think Rousseau, instead of being a top 15 pick like a lot of people predicted during the year or after the year when they were doing mock drafts, or a late first rounder like you're seeing now in that 20 to 25 range, I think he becomes a second round pick, not a first round pick.
Mel, what do you think? What's your grade? What are your opinions on Justin Fields?
Love the kid. I think, you know, just the way he plays, he's understated because he's not gregarious out there. He's not rah-rah out there. He just does his job in a very workmanlike, businesslike way. It doesn't mean he's not competitive. Doesn't mean he's not out there. He wants to win. He was a highly rated kid. He was right there with Trevor Lawrence coming out of the prep ranks in the state of Georgia. What he did in that Clemson game, playing through that injury, showed how tough he is and the character he has, the football character he has. And Dan Orlovsky talked about what he did, and I told Dan, hey, don't apologize for what you said. If you heard something, you say it. Everybody can deal with it. I've said things about quarterbacks, and they still went number one, number two, number three in the draft. Nobody in the NFL cares what anybody says, but bring to light anything you hear. So what Dan did, I applaud what Dan did. I think we all have to be afraid to say what our opinion is, what we're hearing from people. Like, the day we have to be afraid to say what we're hearing from people in the league and pass it along to our listeners and our viewers is the day I walk away from the business. So, again, I'm glad Dan did what he did. He felt some pushback on it. I thought it was unfair, and I defended Dan on that. So I think when you look at Justin, he can answer the critics. If there are any out there when he's drafted, he can answer the critics. He's probably going to be the fifth quarterback taken. He's my second highest-rated quarterback. We'll see how it plays out. Obviously, a lot of this has to do with where you go. And I've always said the quarterbacks that fell have normally done better because they fell to teams that desperately wanted them. Aaron Rodgers fell to Green Bay. They didn't expect him to be there. Great quarterback, right? You think where Judge Herbert goes third quarterback overall. Think about where Josh Allen, third quarterback taken to Buffalo. And I can give a list of a lot of players that fell. Ben Roethlisberger fell to Pittsburgh. Okay, Dan Marino fell to Miami back in 83. So again, in the way the quarterback that has fallen some has usually, 9 times out of 10, had a heck of a career in the NFL.
Mel, that was awesome. You are
amazing, dude. You are. I can tell all the information has been successfully downloaded into your brain.
It's overloaded right now, guys. Believe me. And it's funny, people ask me this time of year, can you talk about last year's draft? I don't even remember last year's draft. Believe me. I'm thinking more about the 2022 draft than the 2023 draft than I have about last year's draft. So it is fun, guys. It's always a great exercise, and I have a lot of fun up there with Todd and Matt Miller and all the guys, and it's going to be a fun believe me, it'll be the most. I think it's the most mysterious draft I've covered in 43 years of doing this.
Oh, I love that.
That's a good way to tease it. Mel, thanks so much for spending some time with us. We're big fans of your work.